Blog Talk Radio.
The new year, new topics, new discussions. January 1. I am Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognito. Podcasting from an undisclosed location, somewhere deep in enemy territory. As released captives, we Hebrews, trapped in a stolen country, await our deliverance. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm going to be here for 90 minutes, first show of the year. Appreciate the support. Apologize for not having a show last Thursday. The holidays, this paganness got in the way. Of course, I'm sure you all can imagine the resistance that I get coming from all sides to prevent me from doing these podcasts because, first and foremost, they say things most don't say in mixed company. I, for one, being a nonce, protecting myself from the possibility of any retaliation, feel free to speak my mind, to check the facts. As the Incognito. Now, I'm sure you guys are familiar with the agenda, the Association of Geographically Enslaved Negro Descendants of the Americas, something I've coined up, and the agenda community. Three principles guide the agenda and the agenda community. And of course, they are solidate, educate, do no harm. Solidate, come together. Separate from those heathens, those Gentiles that mean you no good, that promote hedonistic behavior, that promote pagan holidays, that promote the do what thou wilt. You know, the promotion of do what thou wilt, the do what thou wilt motto, the satanic motto. That really is the world. That really is the world's spirit, folks. That's what we're talking about. That's what's going on. The spirit of the world. It's not rocket science. It's real life stuff. And I'm Amos A. Nunn. Presenting today's topic, if you want to call me, my number is 515-602-9731. Call me. I will answer any questions. I'll take any challenges, and I'll defend any facts. Today, the first of the year, we are going to be talking about a few things. If you read the bio, a few interesting topics. The first was an addition to today's topics. In fact, Black exceptionalism. When I heard that term, you know, my spider senses started tingling. It's an interesting word that people, an interesting phrase, a term that people take exceptionalism, exception to, if you will. Also, we're going to define who is Black. Who is a Black person? And I mean, in terms of a Black person being in the United States, because a lot of folks are jumping on our bandwagon, kind of ties in with the whole Black exceptionalism topic. So who is Black? And lastly, we will cover the ever-growing and ever-present interracial agenda that is being promoted so heavily in our advertising here in the States. You look at television, the medium of stupidity. Look at it long enough and you begin to see a pattern. A pattern that says, hey, let's push this racial agenda. Let's push this racially integrated agenda. And it is a consistent message that I am seeing. And so those will be our topics along with current events. Looks like we may be heading to war with Iran. Depends on how the crazy man in the White House determines how he wants to hold on to power. Now, I kid you not, this is some serious business, folks. We are in the most dangerous period of American history right now. This man, if I might call him that, is toying with the idea of usurping the vote, the wasted effort to try to manage man, and maintain his position as president of this white supremacist country. I don't care whether he stays, whether he goes. I don't care about Joe Biden. There is no human on the face of the earth that I put faith in to govern humans. I await the kingdom. I suggest you do the same. So, I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognito. I want to thank all of the listeners, those of you in our chat room, those of you who are going to download the episode afterwards. I get a lot of that. Let's begin. First, let's talk about Black exceptionalism. Black exceptionalism. To dumb it down, it's just a term that defines a movement or an ideation specifically geared toward Black empowerment or Black privilege, if you will, almost. Not to the extent of white privilege, but to the extent that this is ours and none other. And there are those that take great exception to Black exceptionalism. Now, the problem that most folks have is they don't like the fact that we might have, you know, a little bit of something going on that isn't theirs, you know? And when you look up terms, there is a lot of, there's a lot of comments about Black exceptionalism. Problems, potential problems of Black male-focused exceptionalism by Du Bois. Just to kind of quote him, Du Bois says, Black male exceptionalism is the premise that African-American men fare more poorly than any other group in the United States. The discourse of Black male exceptionalism presents African-American men as an endangered species. Some government agencies, foundations, and activists have responded by creating Black male achievement programs. There are also no agencies. There are almost no corresponding Black female achievement programs, yet empirical data does not support the claim that Black males are burdened more than Black females. Without attention to intersectionality, Black male achievement programs risk obscuring Black females and advancing patriarchal values. Black male achievement programs also risk reinforcing stereotypes that African American males are violent and dangerous. An intersectional approach would create space for Black male focused interventions, but require parity for Black female programs. So the idea that the exceptionalism placed on Black men, Du Bois had a problem with it. Said that it would advance a patriarchy. Well, what I'm trying to figure out the issue with that. Why against Black male leadership? Black male exceptionalism is a fact. It's what we suffer as black men. And so we do fare poorly in this country, more than any other group in the United States. And we are an endangered species. Police murdering us at every turn without recourse or without consequence proves that that is what we are. And what this says is that even from our own, the thought that black men hold a special place, not simply because they are persecuted, but because there is more to them than meets the eye. That's the fear. That is what drives white fear. Black male empowerment. They look at it as a death knell to their very existence. And it's a consistent fear. It's a consistent fear. The 1800s, when we were enslaved, they made it no secret that they were frightened of a black uprising, that they were frightened of black male power. So far and to the point that they revved up their hideous nature in maintaining that white supremacist strategy, maintaining that white supremacist view in this country. Lynchings, murders, rapes, burning alive, castration, skinning. These aren't normal activities for humans. Not hybrid humans, but humans. Doing such things to invoke fear so that our subservience to them remains. This, my friends, is a problem. And it's their problem. It's not ours. Black male exceptionalism. Interesting. Interesting. It is something that we should address. I don't know how you feel as a black man in this country. I've put it on my Twitter account. I've said it. I think I have it pinned up there that in as much as we are able, we are not permitted to be angry, to express our dissatisfaction with any most given situations. They look upon our dissatisfaction as a threat. You can't even be angry. You can't even be upset. White men and white women go in public places and show their ass and get looked at. Black men do the same thing and get murdered on sight. So don't tell me that black exceptionalism is not a reality. It is. And if I might move further, in the coming years, we're going to see some black exceptionalism, but not in the manner you may think. There's going to be a turn of events. There's going to be a shift in power. These Gentiles, their time is nearly done. For those that read scripture and understand the culmination of events we're looking at, it's all moving toward an epic event. We must all prepare for that event. So now, as we talk about black exception, we talk about being a Negro in this country, we talk about being black. Let's at least try to define who's a black person in America. I mean, this is really, this is an interesting topic. Who's black? I don't know. Let me dive into this a little bit. A black man in America, put simply, is that person a progeny, a direct descendant, and result of the transatlantic slave trade? I'm going to put that, I don't know if I can be more direct, but when we talk about black people, people of color, BIPOC, all this nonsense, when we talk about Negroes, we talk about Hebrews, we talk about black, if you will, Americans, I'm not talking about black people whose parents immigrated from Nigeria, who came here and now they have kids and they speak English, and now because they have a little swag, because they you know, done what they're supposed to and imitated us. Now suddenly you look at them and you think that this is a black man. It's not a black man. It's an African immigrant or child of an African immigrant. That's a Nigerian American. A black person, by very definition, if you really just break it down, is a specific and certain segment of this society, the progeny of slaves, the descendants of those, these Gentile heathens, murderously enslaved. If you descend from that ilk, then you're black. And I mean that. And listen, folks, I don't care about offending anyone. I could care less because I'm a black fact checker. The facts are simple. If your parents, your grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, and those individuals, if you don't drop off somewhere in a plantation on this continent, don't go around calling yourself a black American because you're not. And that ends it. I don't know where the confusion lies, but because they look like us, they don't share our experiences. They don't share our history. They don't share anything. They have nothing in related combination to us. There's nothing. Okay? When your parents or your grandparents come from a foreign country, you come here and you have kids, and then those kids begin to take on the characteristics of black people in this country, of the descendants of slaves in this country, and you start them listening to our music and dressing in our style and using our swag, please don't point to them and say, oh, that's a black dude, because it ain't. He's as black as the white man that imitates us as well. He's no more black than that. So that's who's black. That is who, when you talk about black people, when you talk about the black experience, when you talk about ADOS, we're not including people of color. I'm not talking about Mexicans. I'm not talking about Puerto Ricans. I'm not talking about Jamaicans. I'm talking about those of us that landed here in this country, slaves. Those are who I'm talking about. Now, true, those in Jamaica and Haiti and all these other places, those are Hebrews. But they're Hebrews outside of the black experience. Now, I had some people say that those slaves left in Jamaica and Haiti and these other places were slaves that were subpar. Now, I don't know that that's true. Please don't come at my head. I don't know. I could care less about what the massa determined who was acceptable and who wasn't. His judgment is irrelevant. But those are some of the facts that are coming my way regarding our placement and position in those outside American soil, outside the continent. And so when we talk about being black in this country, we talk about being a black man. When we're talking about a Negro, we're talking about Hebrews, we're talking about Negroes only. No 12-chart nonsense. No ridiculousness. You know, this is about us. And why can't we have our thing? And here's the problem, folks. The Jews, they have their thing. The Italians, they got their thing. The Czechs, they have their thing. The Russians, they got their thing. I mean, all of these other tribes, nations, peoples, they've all got their own thing they can call their own. But when we determine what we will call our own and try to maintain it within our community, that is when the objections begin. That's when suddenly folks start raising eyebrows. I mean, how dare you? Black people, as defined by being an American, a descendant of slaves on this continent, are unique. We have a unique experience. We have a unique perspective. We have a unique way of seeing this world. And it is unlike any other person of color who tries to claim our heritage as their own. Please don't do that. It's an insult. If you're Jamaican, embrace your Jamaican heritage. Be glad you have it. We are trying to piece together our heritage and our culture in the confines of this demon-led, corrosive society and keeping our head above water. And most of us are losing the battle. Most of us are losing the battle because the world is so pervasive, infectious. Its spirit tempts and wants you to love money and pleasure and all of these things. And more importantly, they want you to do it skewed to reflect them. The more successful black people get, the more white they become. And you know I'm telling the truth. Sisters out here bleach blonding their hair and straightening it, deadening their hair, to assimilate and fit in, to fit in a society that rejects you based on your skin color, no matter how you go about trying to fit in looking like them, acting like them. It's ridiculous. Reject them and everything they stand for. If you can't see what Gentiles stand for, then you are with them. My name is A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognito, podcasting from an undisclosed location, somewhere deep in enemy territory, talking to all my brothers and sisters, the royal family of Hebrews in this country. I profess to you that I do this because if I didn't, I would do it in the middle of the street, screaming and yelling. And probably get killed. If you don't see the signs that are that an event is fast approaching us, I understand a comet the size of a small school bus passed us just before Christmas or on Christmas Day. Continual events you see in the heavens as spoken of in Scripture that you would see great signs, pestilences, wars, with all these things that are occurring. And while you have all this, there's an agitation going on within the Gentile community that is pushing what I think will soon become a war, conflict, open battle in the streets. And if not, we'll have just missed it by that much. It's an amazing thing. A country built on white supremacy, suddenly trying to shift its intent by including immigrants it does not want. And after a point in time when the immigrants begin to outnumber those who settled this country, now they want to change the rules and make America white again. That's what's going on, and let's stop with the subterfuge. It's about white nationalism. It's about white power. That is what this whole election is about. That's what we're all going through this is about, because they are losing power. They see it happening in front of them, and they are panicking. And let me tell you why. Because they feel that if the tables turn power-wise, they will be touched. They feel that we'll take vengeance on them. See, that's really in the minds of most white people when they stand quietly amongst us and say nothing. They wonder what we think. And what goes through most of their minds is, they must be thinking revenge on what my people did to them. That's the fear we are living through. The backlash of 8 years of black men in office doing nothing for black people, and they still got mad. I can't even believe it. Obama did nothing for black people, and white people still voted Trump in as a backlash for having a black president. And now that this white orange demon is in the White House, all of his friends, all of the folks that think as he does, that think the color of their skin somehow makes them special. Now they're amplified. I mean, now suddenly they feel emboldened. They feel they can come out now. Well, let me just say this to you. Some have tried, and it's failed miserably. Now we've got Trump asking, I would say, right-wing white boys to come to Washington, D.C. on the 6th, where I think he said it's going to be really, really exciting. It's going to be wild, he said. So as they stir up their own agitation, it's my belief that we need to be clear. We need to get clear. We need to get away from them. I don't understand why some of you bristle when I tell you to stay away from Gentiles, to gather amongst yourselves, keep to yourself. What do we have to do? Brother just a few days ago called police, needed some help. Cops arrive on the scene. Brother's got his arms raised with his phone in his hand. He shoots the brother dead on site. Why call them for anything? Stay out of their faces. And what bothers me is that some of you are so brainwashed. Some of you just have the idea that, you know, America's a melting pot, and I have the same opportunity as everyone else, the black man in this country. And, you know, you'll defend Gentiles to your dying breath. You do it to me on Twitter all day. It's ridiculous. It's obscene. It's an interesting dynamic because as we get into our third topic, we talk about the interracial agenda, which was kind of the meat and potatoes of the show tonight. I'm sure some of you following me on Twitter were encouraged that I would do a podcast on the obvious interracial agenda being promoted through advertising and media. Because as I preach to you to separate, they, for some reason, as they tell us they don't want us, as they shoot us, as they murder us, as they kill us, as they call us the N-word, call the cops on us, but their advertisers are saying, marry us in droves. And I'm trying to figure out the disconnect. Why is the advertising community of this country promoting an interracial agenda so hard it's obvious to the casual viewer? Every other commercial I'm seeing, and let me make this clear. I don't who you marry. I'm talking about the promotion of the agenda. So let's just, you know, shelve any opinion of me not wanting you to marry a white person or a black. I don't care who you marry. I know what the scriptures say about interracial marriage, but that's something between you and the Most High. That has nothing to do with me. And so we got to ask ourselves, what's going on? Why is this agenda of interracial marriage being put in front of us, thrust upon us with every commercial, with every 15-second bite? They got to get an image of a black man, a white woman, a black man and an Asian woman, or a black woman and a white man, and their children, and they got to have it, you know, over and over and over and over and over. I'm trying to figure out what's the deal here. And I've come to the conclusion that, in my opinion, along with this COVID-19 vaccine, that there's a collective and encircling agenda to eliminate the black male from the earth. Not specifically the black male that comes from Africa, not the Hamite. No, that Shem relation, that Negro is what they're trying so desperately to either eliminate, to destroy, to water down, so that in the coming generations, a black man will only be a memory. And that's what they're trying to achieve. They're trying to stomp out the royal family. Now, some of you may say, Amos, you're crazy. Well, I don't know. They say that this COVID-19 is a real threat to the African American community. Now, I looked at the numbers, I checked the facts, I posted. Turns out 57% of the folks who have COVID and have died from it and all those good things, 57% of those folks are white. 17% folks that are getting COVID and dying from it are black. So one has to wonder why Melinda Gates would suggest, sitting next to her demon husband, that the black community should get the COVID vaccine first. Why would we need the COVID vaccine first? A vaccine that they rushed into production, haven't tested, used an act to get it to humans. Folks have had bad reactions to it, but they want it in black arms as quickly as possible. Now, I reflect on Bill Gates and his experience in India and all the lawsuits involving the children and the girls that he sterilized. Talking openly about population control and how that equation of people needs to be reduced. Folks, the sinister plan is right in front of us, but we look past it at what they tell us is a lie. You know, Gates himself said, you take $20 million, put it in a COVID vaccine, it'll make $400 million return. Take $20 million invested in a vaccine, make $400 million selling it. That's how he became more wealthy. And if you pay strict attention, he's not going to European countries. No. He's not doing that. He's not going to European countries. Okay? What he's doing, he's going to countries of color, black, African countries, India. That's where he's running his experiments. So, with all of this seemingly insurmountable evidence pointing to our destruction, I think they're trying to take the long road around to try to get their hands on us. Folks, I've told you to read Dante Fortson's Hiding the Hebrews. The plot to hide the Hebrews, Negroes, in America. I recommend that book. I've told you over and over again to check out T.L. Ministries, Brother Yacoba. These folks use scripture to establish the facts that they lay out. And I just got to say, black exceptionalism, the fact that we are targeted, the fact that we are the most marginalized group of people on the planet, and I'm not just talking black people, I'm talking about black men, vilified individuals. And as vilified as we are, made the society in which we live is made to believe that black men are dangerous, when in fact white men go around murdering, mass murders, lone wolves, bombings, killing their family, you know, murdering people, mass murderers. And every time something happens, some crime occurs, and a black face is associated with it, when I look in comments, if it's an online article, is how they associate the crime with the blackness of the individual. But when you see one of these Gentiles hack up their children, as they did in Missouri, a couple decided that they were going to cut up a four-year-old, you look in the comments of the article, you don't see any mention of their whiteness being a factor in their decision to murder their child. Yeah, folks, black exceptionalism is a reality. Get over it. Who's black? The folks that are here as a result of the transatlantic slave trade. And is there a target on us? Are we targeted for elimination? Take a look at the interracial agenda that's being promoted, that subtle way of weeding us out. And let me just tell you, folks, this isn't a new thing. This whole breeding a society to a lighter hue is nothing new. The same was done in Brazil. Came down to Brazil, saw nothing but black faces, so they imported light-skinned Spaniards by the droves, incentivizing them to come down, and the society itself as a whole lightened up, I would say, 3 to 4 shades. There's some issue, there's some need, and I need to know what it is. I think I do know. But there's some need for a whiteifying of the world. Black skin, particularly black skin on Hebrews, that seems to offend Gentiles. They don't want us around. And it's my belief the Most High will stop this. I'm Amos A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognito. Thank you so much for you folks who are listening. 515-602-9731 is the number. This podcast will be available on Spotify, a few other places as we grow. My only concern, folks, and the reason I do this podcast, the reason I talk about these events, is because first, I'm moved to do so. More importantly, if I didn't, I would burst. And I feel I have to do something. I got to say something, because I see something. And what I see doesn't paint a good picture for us if we do not stay alert, stay vigilant, protect ourselves, and separate from Gentiles. And not necessarily in that order. Now, I can tell you the folks that identify with what I talk about on the show. And most folks who understand me understand that what we are all involved in now, these governments that go back and forth with one another, Iran threatening America, Israel threatening Iran, all of these governments, China, Israel, United States, Germany, Russia, every government that you can name that exists on this planet will be wiped away. And I say that because it's in line with scriptural prophecy. Jesus himself told us to pray inadvertently for the destruction of these nations. When you pray, pray like this: Thy, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God will be established on this planet. The unseen will finally rule the scene. I mean, all you have to do is listen to some of my past podcasts, and as I talk about reflection, as I talk about vibration, as I talk about the seen world being a direct reflection of the unseen world, and that there's going to be a correction that's going to take place, that all of these governments have been given the opportunity to try and govern humans, and none of them work. Now the United States is headed toward its own demise. It's running toward its own destruction. And we as Hebrews must pay attention. We as black people, black men, must lead our families and be aware of the upcoming events. I kid you not, this will not be a test. This is going to be a real thing. And Hebrews need to steer clear Hebrews need to be out the way. Latest report I get that they've got Tomahawk missiles being moved via aircraft carrier toward Iran. They're being placed and put in position. Troop movements being reported in North Carolina. Pence canceling a trip. Coming, canceling. Trip he planned. Trump coming back from Mar-a-Lago early to the Dolphin. Not cooperating with Biden's transition team, Pentagon-wise, defense-wise, hiding from them what they're doing, or what they're planning, or what they're plotting. Folks, I can tell you this. I look toward the 6th of January, and I'm wondering if it's going to be a touch-tone date. I'm wondering just what these demon-led Gentiles will do to hold on to power. They're already acting a fool. They will get worse, and I'm only telling my fellow Hebrews, my fellow Negroes, to please distance yourself from heathens. Distance yourself from Gentiles. Understand black exceptionalism. It's real. There's no reason to put yourself in harm's way. I don't call the police. I stay out of their face. I'm civil when I'm talking. I'm civil but I'm not inviting and friendly because I'm just gonna say it. We're not friends. Gentiles are not friends with Hebrews. Now we got Gentiles that are gonna be grafted in. Those Gentiles know who we are. They know that we're the Hebrew royal family. They know that we've been replaced. They understand how it happened. They read scripture. And so, those are Gentiles that are completely different. So, when I tell you, folks, that black exceptionalism is real, when I tell you that, we need to define who's black and we can't have these individuals glom onto our experience, I'm not just whistling Dixie, to put it poorly. What I'm doing is I'm trying to prepare you, because what's happening will only get worse. Now, please understand, I'm not one that panics. Okay? What I do is I tell you the facts, and I pass them on. I'm sorry about being a little distracted and my wife giving me some water. So, again, this show is only for you guys to listen to, for you to understand that there is a dire need for us to wake up. And it's also my belief that we're at a point in time where the woke are going to stay woke and the sleep are going to stay asleep. I think we're close at hand where it's really not going to be too much of a change in numbers on who is with Gentiles that look like us and who is with the Hebrew royal family. And if you look, there's a consistent affect of those not aware of who they are. And I call them bald-faced imitators. They're usually the brothers that have no facial hair. And they do everything they can to assimilate and look like a white man and talk like a white man and act like a white man. And what they're really not understanding is they can't imitate him well enough for them to accept you as anything more than just another black person. And it's a consistent, and if you can feel it, it's tangible in their presence. You ever been around them and they want to tell a joke, poor joke, and they never want to let you forget that you're, a Negro? Let me tell you about how many black friends they have, or they try to tell you a black joke, or they associate anything with blackness they can upon seeing you. See, that's one of them I'm talking about. Those are the ones you have to steer clear of. They're nervous, that nervous guilt. They feel that they have to acknowledge at some point you being black in their presence. I flee from those idiots because most of them are just closet racists. They don't know how to shut their mouth and say nothing. We know who we're talking about, okay? I'm Amos Ayn, I'm the Black Fact Checker. Today, we're talking about black exceptionalism. We've gone over that. We've defined who is black, and we've also addressed the interracial agenda. As I look to the future, it's my hope that some of you have listened to my podcast and have gotten your own land, your own escape plan, your own evasion plan. You know, it's about guerrilla tactics here. I'm going to tell you something, and I want every one of you to understand what I'm going to say. The reason I feel the way I do about Gentiles, and I used to call them white people, the reason I feel the way I do about them is because of this one fact. I know that if there were no one coming to rescue my black ass as I stand in my house, if there was no help coming, I know that the neighbors that live around me would conspire and eventually try to do me and my family harm. I'm going to say it again. We as black people know in this country, every one of you knows I'm telling the truth, that if there were no help coming and they knew it, if they thought for a second that no one would punish them, they would try to kill us all. And folks, that is in their nature. I don't care how you interact with them, what you think about them. That, my friends, is just a fact. And they'll have their little compadres with them. And you know who I'm talking about. The light Mexicans, who are the most racist individuals I've ever seen. We now have Mexicans that are Nazis in Mexico. The quiet white liberals who will say nothing and watch them burn us out. These folks have shown us over and over again their nature. Everywhere they go, they bring death, disease, dishonesty, disorder. And they hold themselves on this pillar of just and righteous behavior when they're the most hedonistic, I would say demonistic individuals I've ever seen. And they reflect who they are in their entertainment. They'll show how barbaric they can be in their entertainment, how they can murder in all kinds of different ways. And you know, I look at the ones that love to hunt, killing an innocent living thing for sport. No, I don't want anything to do with any of them. And I advise all Hebrews to stay out of Gentiles' faces. If they don't recognize Hebrews as God's set apart, they are not your friends. And I mean that. I say that open-faced. Don't care. And please don't point out the ones that don't openly talk about being a racist POS. Please stop. The folks that are the quietest are usually the most hateful racist mothers on the planet. And all you have to do is, I've told every last one of you, if you want to see who they are, don't smile and don't say anything around them and see what they do. See how aggressive they become. We perpetually put these Gentiles at ease with our dancing, singing, fucking, telling jokes, trying to make them feel comfortable so they don't trip. These beings that hear music and it triggers them to commit murder. These beings, I've never seen a more frightened group of people in my life. I tell you now, the time to stay away from these Gentile heathens has long passed. It is now time to run from them, to stay away from them at all costs. And let me tell you what will happen. If you listen and understand what I'm saying, and if you practice what I'm preaching, you will understand why I maintain a consistent message of stay away from these Gentiles. Because the more you stay away from them, the more aggressive they get. You test me, you try me. I know what I'm talking about. So, when I tell you that being in this country as a black person, a descendant of slaves, you know, your people raised on a plantation, that's who I'm talking about. It's the most stressful existence you could ever imagine. Meanwhile, these Gentiles look in our face lying and tell us how we have it so good. And, you know, you have as equal a chance as anyone else. And knowing most of them are ignorant, so they don't understand that what they're talking about makes no sense. They don't understand that their white brethren, well, they're doing everything they can to make sure that they stay in power. But look at the Georgia runoff, folks. Black people voting. White people panicking. This isn't a mystery. It's always been about race. You know, folks try to come at me with this, why are you always talking about race? Why is it all about race? Because it's always been about race. You never let us forget that it's about race. You want to fly your rebel flag? Just had a woman a few days ago attack a 14-year-old, the son of a famous jazz musician, played for Beyonce for years. He's a jazz musician when he played for Beyonce, okay? So, just posted it not a while back. White woman decides that her phone is missing. So, black man walks in with his child, and she tackles the child, demanding to see this kid's phone, accusing him of stealing her phone. Now, they're going to arrest her, thank God. Turns out she left her phone in an Uber. She came in and demanded to see videotape of everybody in the, and also wanted to search another person. I mean, the hubris of whiteness to think that you're entitled to search anyone you suspect. You wonder why I'm the way I am. You wonder why I say the things I do. The reason I say these things is because of what we are experiencing. And we're not experiencing it from phantom make-believe people. We're experiencing it from people devoid of melanin that seem to have a problem. And the problem is if you don't look like them, then they don't want you around. And I don't mean they don't want you in their area. I mean they want you dead. And let me tell you something. Gentiles love death. They love killing things. They love taking life. They brag about it. They brag about how their Viking descendants were so barbaric. You know, they talk about violence and evil as if it's an amusement. And we, because we have been stripped of our identity and force-fed these demons' identity, we go along right with them. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Fight the assimilation. Don't like what they like. Don't do what they do. Don't act the way they act. And stay away from them. You'll be better for it. I know I am. I'm Amos Agnon, The black fact, checker losing my voice, might quit early. You know, I get excitable because the facts don't lie. I get excitable because the events keep coming. The murders keep happening. Really infuriating is that white people want us to be calm in our response to being murdered by their brethren. Instead of wagging your wrinkly white finger at me, turn around and face your brothers and sisters who are right-wing white nationalists and kill them for us. Otherwise, shut the hell up. Don't lecture me about how I feel. Because if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. That's all there is to it. Don't you come to me and say, oh, Doug, you're preaching hate. No. This is not the time. So, what are we doing? Are we paying attention? What are we doing? We have to be awake, conscious of what we do. Oh, my goodness, folks. Another day in America. Another day. My name is A. Nunn, the Black Fact Checker, the Incognito. Again, I appreciate you folks listening. I hope that you hear this and share it. I'm going to call it a night. And I hope you folks call it a safe night as well. Bye-bye.